Check.
Yeah. Mic check. Checking one. Checking it out.
That's good.
Yep. And mm-hmm. you?
How about check, check. One, two. Yeah. Good.
How about me? How do I sound? Good?
Actually, ooh, well, yeah, I don't have a knob for that. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kitten Hands Across the Land, the new theme song.
Love that new theme song.
That's amazing. That's this week's submission is from Jay Friedman, and that theme song I think is awesome.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's the Kitten Hands Across the Land with Chris and Graham or whatever. It sounds like I'm listening. It's like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
Theme song.
Which is how we live our lives, pretty
much. We still live our lives as though we are watching Johnny Quest.
Yes. that's if only I could find that giant robot.
Oh, God damn it. The gargoyles come to life. Yes. Johnny Quest. Hi, my name's Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for iTuning in. Let's bring that back again.
Let's bring iTuning in. So yeah, guys, keep submitting your theme songs. And, as we get closer...
We're going to play them. We got a couple more to play. We got but keep submitting them. Don't submit your whole reel, though. Just submit one. One guy sent us a CD, and here, just pick one of the 42 tracks. No.
Just the 30-second just pick one. That's all we need. I don't need your voiceover reel.
Yeah.
I don't need your commercial acting demo. I don't need that. But we appreciate the work that you're doing.
Yes.
So let's introduce our guest, right?
I think we should, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And has a new podcast, remarkably similar to our old podcast.
Very, very close.
Yes, yes. Please welcome a big fan. We are big fans. And also...
And I'm a big fan.
Yes, I just reversed it. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Hi.
So tell
Hello.
Us... Hi. Last time you were on the show, I think... You sort of broke the news about your new podcast. So
well, I did. And then people, apparently, mm-hmm. you guys have more than one listener.
Yes.
we do.
The Parent Experiment, which was the name of the old podcast, uh-huh. got mm-hmm. the message boards lit up with the news.
We know who the new host is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So it was not a secret for long.
So what is the new show now?
It's called For Crying Out Loud. Mm-hmm. And it's also a parenting podcast. Remarkably similar, but with a looser format. We're mm-hmm. actually talking about reality TV stuff that chicks like to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids.
You're still co-hosting with Lynette, right?
With Lynette Carolla, mm-hmm. yeah, who was going to be here today, but stuff happens.
Sure.
Kids, life, you guys understand.
We do indeed.
Yes, we do.
Yes, it's a long drive to the valley. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Lynette has a lot of stuff going on. But the two of us are still co-hosting. It's called For Crying Out Loud. We have a Facebook page, and you can download it on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Great.
And we're like number one or number two in kids and family.
How many episodes so far?
I think we've recorded 5 already.
Oh, awesome.
Are you doing it weekly or just
We just had David Alan Greer. He's on our next episode.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
I know. Funny guy. Talked about his daughter Lulu on our show. He has a 3.5-year-old daughter.
I don't have any kids, but I have 6 nieces and nephews. I can talk about them.
That's a lot. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you had two just visit for surf camp.
Yes, my 11 and 12-year-old niece came out for surf camp in July. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I took them to Disneyland and a WNBA game because one of them plays basketball.
I just went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
When did you go?
It was in July.
Oh, okay, July.
It was great. I took them to the Getty Museum.
Okay, this is crazy. My daughter's at the Getty Museum right now.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta bring this up. Like, everyone I've told about this surf camp has been like, oh, that's so cool. That sounds so great. And then I went out with one girl and I was like, oh, we did this. And And I said, oh, I took him to the Getty Museum. He's like, ah, oh, that sucks. Why'd you take him to
what?
The Getty Museum?
The Getty Museum is amazing.
Really? I know, it's amazing. I'm like,
just the tram ride up the hill is awesome. Like enough to for the kids to call it a day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They had a great time already.
My daughter loved just the tram ride.
Right.
Yeah, just the tram ride up there.
It's fun. Right. It's amazing. The architecture, just the layout. Like they were running around the garden like, this is great.
You don't even have to see any artwork for it to be amazing.
We've been to concerts there. But yeah, but my daughter's first grade and she's going. She can't wait.
Well, I mean, if somebody says, oh, the Getty Museum sucks, the response would be, oh, well, you must be dead inside.
Yeah, you're dumb. You used to be a Hooters girl. So,
or still are.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
You're still trying to work your way to pay for college? Is that what's going on? Still don't like museums?
Going to med school?
Yeah. Right.
Honey, it's not going to work
how's
out.
How's dancing going? Yeah. How's that working out?
Still exotic.
Are these more outfits for work?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's my uniform.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We all wear uniforms.
Yeah, it's like, just like Arby's.
Yeah. They totally wear...
Only with a much shorter skirt.
Yeah. Much shorter skirt.
Actually, no skirt.
Not a lot of fishnet stockings at Arby's.
Not as many.
At least not
more
the
crowded.
Ones I go to.
Yeah.
At least not crotchless.
Yeah.
If there's anyone out there working at an Arby's and you're going to go crotchless, let us know.
Yes.
And we'll put that on the message board.
The date and time.
It's a crotchless Arby's. Yeah. Give us your crotchless Arby's stories, guys.
And, and then that's when, and then we'll send the health inspector down.
I wouldn't want to eat at that Arby's.
Just browse.
Just.
I would want to order an au jus. Yeah.
Oh, that's hot
a
bread.
Dip.
That's a French dip. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, for clarifying what au jus meant. This is a multicultural show.
Yes, you know, food. I mean, how many restaurants have we mentioned already?
We're going over fashion tips, you guys, today. Yeah. Cooking. We're going to wide gamut it on this particular show. Museums, great museums to go to.
Yeah.
And French sandwiches.
Yeah.
Oh, and why Hooters girls are stupid.
Yeah. But so, the bottom line, if someone tells you the Getty Museum sucks, they're dumb.
Yeah
they're stupid.
Yeah,
they're so dumb.
There's no real wiggle room there.
No.
Yeah, you're
that's
dumb.
Just it. Yeah. Oh,
and if you're thinking it right now, don't tune into our show.
Yeah.
We hate you.
Yes, go get some crotchless Arby's uniforms and go on about your day.
Yeah.
And cross off two podcasts in one,
get rid of them.
Fell swoop.
Don't listen to mine for sure.
Yeah.
If you think the Getty Museum is dumb, I doubt you're listening to this. Right. You know what I mean? You're not.
I agree.
You're being stupid somewhere.
I agree.
You're running
full
around.
Full-time
dumb. You don't have the time to download this or figure out how electricity works.
Right.
Or where the sun comes from. You just don't have time for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're
too busy watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Or X Factor and posting that on your Facebook page.
Wait,
I'm watching X Factor.
Uh-oh. You like X Factor. Uh-oh. We crossed the line.
Hold on. Just a red hot second.
Stephanie just threw a red flag out.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's one thing dumb in Dancing with the Stars. Hello, line right in the middle.
You can hate on Dancing with the Stars, but don't hurt my X Factor.
Okay.
Don't you dare.
I apologize.
Don't you dare.
To any X Factor nerds who are listening to the show in crotchless Arby's
uniforms.
I don't
know if nerds actually listen to X Factor, just losers. I know my place. I know.
Should we get into the movies?
Why not?
No! I want to talk about
the Getty a little more.
Ridiculous nonsense. We have some shout-outs? We do have some shout-outs.
Yeah. Oh, again, to the fans, we actually had our two fans who spent over $100 in the store. Those are now gone, the Chris Gore DVDs. But we appreciate you guys spending a lot of money in the store, and we still have a lot of Comedy Central water bottles left for Doug CDs and gift packs. And lots of Woot Monkeys left for gift packs. And if you put a little note, I want a Woot Monkey, chances are we'll give it to you.
You're going to get a Woot Monkey, folks. There's a lot of Woot Monkeys that are being sent out across...
Internationally, actually.
International Woot Monkeys.
We're getting
a Woot Monkey?
Oh, you'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
You'll get one to take home. Although we'll probably have to give you three, because you have three children.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to
because they're going to fight over
thing.
Them. Yes.
Oh, I want to give a big shout out to Rebecca Knapp. She's been a huge supporter of us, and
she just got the last DVD.
She got the last DVD.
Screw her.
She's If you're listening to X Factor, Rebecca, I'm going to fucking come over there. Yeah.
Don't you dare talk about the Getty Museum again.
Yeah, she's like, I hate the Getty.
Now, Skirball you can hate on. Skirball. That Noah's Ark exhibit is horrible.
Yes, I'm going to a museum later today. That's how cultured I am. It's the Museum of Fighting. You know, yeah. It's just like...
The Fight Club exhibit.
It's a
Fight
Club
exhibit. Yeah, there's soap and Band-Aids.
That would be awesome. That's an amazing museum.
That's how we get the fellas to go to the museum.
Yes.
Right.
The Fight Club exhibit.
Guys are all dumb. I don't want art fighting. I'll go.
You know what? I think I can do a tie-in real quick with movies and art museums. The Tim Burton exhibit is still at the LACMA, and it's amazing.
Bing, bing, bing. I'm going to that later today.
Oh, well, there you go. It's there until Halloween, which is apropos.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And if you have kids that aren't too young, please don't bring 4 or 5-year-olds, because there's some creepy stuff in there. But older, love it.
You guys really are nerds.
We're such nerds. Are you kidding me? It's not even a joke. Like, I had to get rid of my life-size cutout of Captain Kirk, because it would scare people when they'd come into my home.
And I had to make room for the Mr. Spock one.
The Mr. Spock one.
Do you guys know Ken Daly?
Of course.
Yeah, I know Ken Daly. Mm-hmm.
So a long time ago, I was at his house. His apartment. I mean, this is many, many, many years ago. But oh my God, does he still have every surface of his place? Every like counters, floors, mm-hmm. walls, shelves were covered with like little dolls and, you know.
Action figures.
Action figures. Games. Like.
I have a plan.
Is that nerdy or is that hoarding?
I don't know for sure, but I'm going to say yes.
Nerd hoarding.
Yeah. Nording.
We have an intervention.
Oh, that's a great show. Nording.
Nording. Nerd hoarding. All right. Specifically nerd hoarding.
Hold on. I need you guys to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nerd hoarding.
So the first movie.
All right, we've done our shout outs.
Yes.
I want to give a shout out to everyone. I did to Karen Rontowski, who puts together this show, a fundraiser show at the Oasis Women's Rehab Center. It's a stand-up comedy show. It's very cool. So some fans came out to it, and she'll be doing it again. So check back on my Facebook page. I'll post it.
Do you have to be an addict?
To be on the show?
No, to be in the audience.
Well, it's mainly women and their families. So, oh, okay.
All right.
So you bust
so
out.
So ladies,
some,
go work on that.
Go work.
Get
your drink on. It's going to be a great show.
Get some drugs in your veins.
Get some drugs in your veins.
If you want to see comedy.
And open up that wallet. Yeah, it's for a good cause.
It's for a good cause. Put down the crack pipe and get out your donation. Yeah, did I not pitch that correctly?
Yeah.
You're raising money for the rehab center. I'm not encouraging you to get fucked up, folks, and come on down to the show. We're going to be mainline and H. It's going to be tremendous.
You're working both sides.
I need new customers.
It's horrible.
Oh, so the thing.
Yes. Okay, I saw the thing. And it did not have a good weekend, but I really liked it. I mean, to me, it...
Now, what did you like about it?
I liked several things. Don't point at the microphone. Chris is telling me to talk while at the microphone.
Oh, as you just trailed off and moved farther away? Told you to get closer to the mic?
To get some cans.
We do.
We've
That's
only been
not,
doing the show for 2 years. We still don't have headphones.
We still need to get headphones,
I know. We'll get on that.
And we need one for the intern who's not here today. He finished getting married and started a new job.
Finished getting married. Ugh, what an arduous process.
Yeah, it took him a while.
Finished getting married.
Go ahead, The Thing.
The Thing. It was wonderful. It was very much like the John Carpenter one, but it didn't like try to ape it, in my opinion. And there was a lot of really good practical effects. There was some CG in there, obviously, but the CG really didn't get in the way. And it was really cool. Like, I like all these actors. Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Scott Pilgrim, she's great in it. And Joel Edgerton I like. And it's a really good supporting cast. And
now, Neil said you actually saw The Thing a little bit too much. Like, that was his complaint about it.
Yeah, the first one, you barely saw it, and they did very much like the original Jaws. Like, you
right.
barely saw it till the end. This one, you really saw it. And that, you know... I was kind of okay with that. I mean,
it's called The Thing.
Yeah, you're supposed to
see. Shouldn't you see it a little bit?
Yeah, you should. So Neil's contention in his review is that he wished he would have seen it. Would have just been scarier had you not known exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But they did, and the way they showed the thing eating people, that was like, what the fuck? I mean, I was really like, Jesus. And I, but in a good way. So I, you know what I mean? Like, okay. you were really horrifying, and you, it made the terror real. And, you know, it was a fun movie. Like,
this is a family feature, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is, you take your 4-year-old to it right after Tim Burton and then Crotchless Arby's, and you've had a great afternoon.
They love eating people. That whole concept is big with the toddler set.
Yeah. Just raw terror. So it was really cool, you know, and they, the way they shot it and everything, they got in some amazing, like, I don't know if these were sound stages or what, but some like ice caves, or I don't know if they went up to Canada or Iceland or something, but some of that stuff was really cool. So overall it's, I liked it. It was what I thought it would be. And, you know, it's decent. It's what you want.
So it was a worthwhile remake / prequel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's if you liked the Carpenter one or the one from the '50s or whatever. Which
yeah.
Is sort
yeah.
Of,
this is the second remake.
Yeah. It's a fun horror flick, monster movie. You know what I mean? Like alien craziness. And you see more about the alien and stuff like that, which I liked.
Oh, cool.
You know?
All right. So not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
I did the makeup for that movie. A lot of people don't know that. I mention I have a lot on my plate right now?
You are so
you did mention that.
Oh my
indeed.
God.
Yeah. But so I'm glad you guys liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Great job with the makeup, Stephanie. You're so...
Thank you. Not special effects. You know, it's like a little bit different.
Just sure, makeup. Sure.
Yeah, just makeup.
You just powdered people between takes. Is that what you just did? That's you
did
just,
the hair.
I did the makeup on the thing itself, but not the effect, just the makeup.
Right. Yeah. So the makeup.
Let's just move on, please.
Yeah, so the makeup a little shiny.
I'm embarrassed by the attention.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
All right. I saw this movie, I Melt With You. Now, this is an indie that's, I believe, coming out in like another couple of weeks. Now, I want to mention before I talk about this movie is that, you know, we like bringing smaller, well-acted, really well-made movies to your attention. Like last week, I talked about Melancholy, which was great. Lars von Trier's movie about basically mental illness and how he kind of made that a giant planet.
Mental illness. It's always funny.
And we made that literally a giant planet. It coming to, you know, destroy the world. And it was a great, you know, small, intimate, really well-crafted movie. This movie is horrible, I Melt With You. So I don't want anyone to think that we're always touting independent movies and slashing studio movies, because we're not. This was an independent movie with Rob Lowe, Jeremy Piven, Thomas Jane, and Christian McKay. In other words, 3 stars and a favor someone owed.
3
somebody.
Stars. 3 stars and a nephew.
And
that's the name of my new sitcom.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
What? Explain to me. Okay, I've never understood this. So how do you, if you have big stars, why does the movie have to be independent? You can't get funding?
Yes.
No, I mean, I'm serious. Like, okay, I've never understood this, because I've heard of these movies that get put together. They've got huge names, but then they end up only getting like a DVD
also,
release or whatever, because
they're
they
also
weren't fund. They weren't
big
they
studio
have,
movies. Well, they're also smaller movies, which means they their budgets are smaller. Now the big studios with the hedge funds and everything else, they're only greenlighting big budget effects, you know, those types of movies. So these smaller films ultimately end up getting funded by smaller companies.
Yeah, the studios are funding movies. They want movies with...
This is Magnolia.
So why does it have to be independent? Because there's no...
Because it's...
Independent
aren't
is...
the Weinsteins still doing some stuff?
Yeah, technically, yes. They're independent as well.
Are those guys still out there getting crazy?
We could just say smaller movie. But that
yeah, we could say it's a smaller film.
But I know what you mean, but I've always wondered that, because you hear about these movies, you go on Netflix or whatever, and you find some movie, and you're like, there's actually stars
because
in this movie,
even with,
and no one's ever really
because
heard of
even
it.
With stars, a lot of times the subject matter or whatever, the studios know that they're not going to make their money back.
Okay.
Right, so the stars get back-end deals. They're not getting big upfront salaries.
They like get producer credits. Like half these actors get producer credits on this movie.
Right.
And then
they just tell them, really promote this thing. Go on your Facebook
page. Right, exactly. And
really
here,
tell everyone to go see.
Here's an instance where
this is the Thomas Jane podcast.
Yeah. And here's an instance where the studios were right. This is about 4 40-something college friends meet up with their annual reunion. Things start to spiral out of control, and a pact they made as young men is revisited. And this is what I read on IMDb, because I had to read it, because there's no way to make this movie sound compelling without pretty much lying.
There's no pact.
There is a pact, and this is a spoiler alert. I'm going to ruin this movie for you because it's such a horrible, stupid movie. It deserves to be ruined.
So awesome. If you really want to see this dumb movie, close your ears.
Now,
just go to Arby's for a minute.
Yeah, go to Arby's and look for somebody.
That's the kind of person
now,
you are.
When
go get an au jus.
Four whiny 40-somethings come to this, you know, retreat in Big Sur. By the way, the scenery is beautiful. When they shot this movie,
Big Sur,
they're probably thinking, well, we can get a vacation out of this too. So it's
Carmel for the day, have an ice cream cone.
The movie is so bad and the scenery is so good. You actually want Rob Lowe to get out of the way so you could see like this the seascape at some point. You're like, please, actors, you're ruining the view of this movie. Now, they're all whiny. They get to the like, oh, we're aging. Our lives haven't turned out the way we wanted. Blah blah blah. Here's your problem. Here's your problem. Here's your problem. Here's your problem. We're all unhappy, but we need this week to get together. And you look at this and you see four unhappy guys in their 40s. And the same thing happened with Company Man. Immediately, I went, one of these guys is going to kill themselves. At some point, somebody's going to kill themselves. And that is incredibly sloppy filmmaking and writing. And sure enough, about halfway through, somebody kills themselves.
Rob Lowe?
No, it's not. Well, but I don't want to. I am going to ruin the rest of it, but I want to build up to the rest of the ruining.
Oh, okay.
Build up to the rest.
I hope it's Thomas Jane.
Here's what happens. So one of the guys, no, the Christian McKay kills himself first.
The nephew.
You know what I said? Yeah.
Notice
what I said first. So he,
oh no,
he killed himself. And then in this beautiful scenery, they start digging graves outside of their beach house. There's one grave.
No.
And then they're complaining like, oh, our lives are so bad. But the writing is so horrible. It's like you're listening to a coverage report. Like, here's the problem with your character. Here's the problem with your character. Here's your baggage. And here's why you'll never obtain your goals. And that like, well, no, this is there's an opposite of subtext. It's called On the Nose, and this is way beyond On the Nose. This is like you're reading like a coverage report of the script. That's what the dialogue is actually saying. And so the one guy kills him, but the other guy's trying to figure out what to do. And then they decide...
Would it, like, besides call the cops?
Yeah, besides call the cops. Besides call the cops. And then they go,
as
you know what?
As if they're covering up a murder?
Yeah, like, exactly. What? I'm like, what? This makes no sense. The guy just killed himself. Why wouldn't you just, you know...
Call help,
and then move on. No. Then they realize, well, if he killed himself, maybe we should all just kill ourselves. It's one by one. Every character dies.
That's the pact.
No.
That's the pact. It's so stupid. Yeah, yeah. And you're looking like, well, no, that would never happen. Okay, that would never happen. Okay, that would never happen.
And then at the end, they're just all dead?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I was at a press screening and I tried not to laugh out loud because I knew the publicist was sitting behind me. And I'm thinking, who would make this movie? And here's something. Filmmakers and screenwriters, listen very carefully to me for 1 second. The most contrived, boring, uninteresting thing is to have a troubled character kill themselves. You know what's more interesting? Having a troubled character face their problems, either willingly or unwillingly, and let it play out.
Yes.
That is much more compelling on every level.
Or kill someone else.
Or kill someone
else. Or go to the Getty Museum. Do something.
Yes. Or Arby's. Anything.
Do something.
Even
with
Hooters.
Pathetic life.
So
wow.
I did put it so.
It sounds so bad.
It's really. And I will say, the acting is pretty good. And because you've got these big stars trying to act their hearts out for this little dramatic piece that it really isn't. And they have this horrible dialogue they have to contend with. So you watch, it's interesting exercise to watch good actors try to make bad material good. They fail, of course, but they really try. They really try. And then it's like there's supposed to be this 80s soundtrack, but you get that impression like, well, we couldn't really afford that song, so we're going to do obscure 80s punk songs. Like, who couldn't afford Madonna?
Is I Melt With You even in there?
You know what? I don't know if it is or not because I was listening for it and I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it.
They couldn't
even get Modern English.
The song that's so, the title of the.
So thing. I'm thinking somewhere maybe there it was like some punk rendition that I didn't recognize somewhere in the movie.
Oh God,
but I did. Let me put it this way: the Modern English version, no. The one that the movie is
so
named
like
after,
a knockoff,
no.
It's like wow. I'll pause the planet and decompose.
Yeah. That would I even would have recognized. So anyway,
some changes and it's getting improving because
I'm gonna
of suicide.
Kill myself.
Suicide.
So, yeah. I mean, we have one, but I'm just saying we probably wouldn't go through with it.
I have had one for years.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see this movie? Okay, now you're gonna have to help
called
me
Suicide
out with
Pact.
Check about this. No, it's actually has nothing to do with that. But it was okay. It's a movie about a nuclear holocaust, and it's starring the guy from ER, bald guy from ER, Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, did you ever see this movie? It was
it that made for TV movie that came out in the 80s?
No, it was like 15 years old. No, it was not. No, I know what you're talking about.
With Anthony.
No, this was a big.
Jason Robards was in that one.
Look up. Right, look, I know what you're talking about. See if you can look it up.
It was a.
Call our intern at work.
It was
make
a.
Him look it up.
Big movie because I remember seeing it in Century City and I went to the movies by myself. And I go to see this movie. I don't know anything about it. I just know it's kind of like a action movie.
Were there zombies in it?
No zombies. It's a real life movie. And the thing was, it was the worst, like the most disturbed. Basically, at the end of the movie, everybody dies. And at the over the last credits, and you're watching it, you're going, okay, they can't kill everybody. Like there has to be some redeeming thing that happens in this movie. And one of the last scenes is like a helicopter sinking under the under it. There's like a it's a nuclear holocaust. Everybody dies. And Anthony Edwards is under, and they're like having their last 6 seconds together before they're going to die.
Right.
You know, and then that's it. Movie's over. Go outside. Go have lunch.
Yeah,
enjoy
go have
yourself.
Point.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
So are you talking about Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise? is that the movie?
Or that's it.
Or Pet Cemetery 2.
I was really looking at it from too dark an angle.
Maybe you need to open your mind up a little bit.
I just don't have a good sense of humor. It's called Paradise. You can't find it?
I can't find it.
Are you sure it's Anthony Edwards?
Yes.
Okay, somebody put it on our message boards, the movie that Stephanie is trying to tell us. Well, one of the things that I don't like about stuff like this, too, about like that movie and this I Melt With You movie is because you have such an amazing potential for a great film.
Right.
Everything is literally set up for you. Great commentary. I'm like, okay, guys in their 40s, aging, things aren't really going the way they wanted to, and let's kind of do a big chill St. Elmo's Fire. There's something there.
Don't include St. Elmo's Fire in big chill. Don't ever do that again.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though. Like little pieces of those. You know, little
St. Elmo's Fire had that where they had that stupid booga 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 booga, that most contrived joke that was made in a studio.
You know what I'm talking about, though, where it's that kind of feeling that can be evoked, and then some nice drama and comedy in there, and or you could throw all that away and just kill everybody.
I think the Suicide Pact is really, folks, put your favorite Suicide Pact on our message
board. Yeah, you know what? Let's do top 10 Suicide Pact movies on the message boards. Put your favorite Suicide Pact movie on the message boards and we'll discuss them.
No, why do people sign up to do those movies? Like, why, if the script is that bad, why is Rob Lowe, who's like,
I think they really
has
think
had a resurgence, why does he feel like,
question.
I want to be in it?
I think they think that it's going to, the
Jeremy
end product
Piven.
Is going to be a lot better than it
was. Yeah, I think it was. It's the thing. Nobody sets out to make a bad movie. The script, you go, oh, this is good. And you never know. You have no idea what these guys are probably all rep by huge name agents at ICM or whatever.
Or one agent.
Yeah, saying, you need to do this if you want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then help out my new client. You three be in here.
Yeah.
And then
Christian McKay needs a springboard. and it's in the form of a bunch of good looking guys and a suicide. Yeah.
What's the craziest death that happens in there?
See, that would be cool if there was a crazy death in there, but they were all incredibly mundane. I mean, how do you kill yourself? Hang yourself?
Yeah. Shoot yourself?
Jump off rocks.
A bridge?
Yeah, jump off rocks. Or one guy can't do it, so then the other guy has to do it for him. That was my favorite part. It was like, oh, one guy can't do it, so he wants the other guy to kill him. And he just goes, all right. He just kills him. Really? It was that easy to kill your friend after he just asked you to?
Why are you guys ever friends to begin with?
That's what I was thinking. If that was so easy, you know, wow. I'm like, I've been waiting to do this for 20 years.
I've always hated you.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And that would have been more compelling if it all all of a sudden came out, like, why are we still friends? Why were we ever friends? We fucking hated each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different movie. Someone else please make that movie.
I have to go take a Zoloft. I'll be right back.
So let's make a horrible transition now. We're going to talk
First of all, I want to say this real quick. No one saw Footloose. No one's reviewing
it. No.
If someone saw it, put your review up on the message boards. I'm curious to see what it's like. Like especially if you've seen the original and this one.
And compare it, yes.
Compare.
Because you got to cut loose. Footloose.
I'm going to melt with you.
What?
Now, you like the original, of course. Classic, Kevin Bacon-y.
Yeah. I just don't see why you would need to remake it. But I think I've hit that age where I feel like stuff was just made Like where I feel like, well, we all saw Footloose when it came out, right? Just watch that. And there's so many kids that are like, no, we didn't know.
We've never heard of that movie.
That's like
80
years old.
Yeah.
And I go, oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's got like, you know, grandpas and grandmas in it. Yeah.
This is like people in walkers that like the Getty Museum. It's
It's weird. I'm going to put on my crotchless panties and go to work at Arby's.
Oh my God. If this episode isn't inspirational to you people listening, I don't know. Then we're doing something wrong.
Yes.
We really are. Something has failed.
All right, let's get into.
So we want to talk about because of Crying Out Loud, the parent experiment, and Steph and I both have kids. You have nieces and nephews. Let's
not
want to talk
the
about
parent experiment anymore.
No, because it used to be parent experiment. Now it's for Crying Out Loud.
For Crying Out Loud.
Right. What's
look
the
look up on iTunes?
What's the is the Twitter still also?
The Twitter for is at Ace Moms.
Ace Moms.
Yes,
okay.
Ace Moms, because Ace Broadcasting is Adam Carolla's network. So Lynette and I are Ace Moms.
Boom.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ace Moms.
Ace Moms.
So we're going to talk about family movies for a moment. Our favorite ones and which ones the kids like and which ones we can't stand, but the kids seem to love as well.
Right.
Steph, you want to go first? What's in your library? What have you seen recently?
Well, I did see Smurfs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I can't really tell you how the movie was. That's the problem, because a couple things happen when I take my kids to the movies. I zone out, for one. I make a lot of trips to go pee-pee. That's just me. And then, because of the Diet Coke. No, my kids are three, so like they can't sit through an entire movie. So I have got my six-year-old who does want to see how things turn out, and I don't have enough like invested to know what the plot is or really care about how it ends. And so when my three-year-olds are going, I want to go home 20 minutes in, I kind of do too. And yet then it seems like a good idea to go see another one. Like I saw Winnie the Pooh. The same thing happened at Winnie the Pooh. And then I still went to go see the Smurfs because it's a good way to burn off time. But what I do remember
so you didn't
is
care about
Patrick
when the evil
Neal-
wizard Gargamel chases the tiny blue Smurfs out of their village. They tumble from their magical world and into ours.
Okay, now what movie is that?
That's the Smurfs.
That was Garfield.
Garfield.
Yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar. I know the chick from Glee was there, and she smiled a lot.
And Doogie Howser.
And Doogie Howser was there. He was there. And yeah, I mean, you know, you know what I don't like? The animation meets live action.
Like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, why do they do that?
It's creepy.
Well, Jason Lee needs a job.
Just make everything animated. Why can't it just be an animated movie?
Yeah, why can't we all be human? Why do we have to interact? It's not right.
Yeah.
We should be separated from the animals. It's worked for hundreds of years.
The animals.
Seriously.
You animated animals.
Yeah.
You savage animated computer generated freaks.
You know, so in the movie, the Smurfs are...
Who framed Roger Rabbit? Cute. Abomination.
Heresy.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to go so far as to say heresy.
Okay, so the Smurfs are real. When you watch the cartoon, the Smurfs, which I do sometimes against my will, it's kind of a violent
cool world, demonic. Right? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's like it's pretty like Powerpuff Girls. Have you seen Powerpuff Girls?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my God! If they do a Powerpuff Girls movie, my daughter is going to be all over that.
Powerpuff Girls are great. They're like these badass
superhero.
Things.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah, but there's a lot of violence. Like it's just a constant people killing each other and being thrown against walls. And we don't let her watch it at night because it gets her too riled up
to go to bed. Yeah,
punching people. They're constantly punching people out. You know, but it's for little girls.
Well, it's so time to take a stand.
I agree. No, I don't want to raise a pussy. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong, Graham.
Don't make your three-year-old daughter into a pussy. Don't do it.
Yeah, let her watch more cartoons.
She watches Powerpuff Girls for medicinal purposes. Yes. It's therapy. But the Smurfs are also violent.
The original cartoons? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very violent. There's a lot of they're not like cute blue people that live sit on toadstools and relax a lot and take baths or whatever. They're fighting and bad things are happening. So the Smurf movie, not really like that. They're trying to cutesy it up a bit. But I don't know. What did you guys think? Did you see it?
No way.
Did not see it.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
That looks horrible.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
But now the Winnie the Pooh movie
they should do drop-off movies.
Oh.
The Smurfs is not going to interest the people listening to this podcast. Will it interest your kid is the question.
Right. Yes. Now, the other one...
It will, it'll hold their interest. Yeah, we
definitely have some I wanted to mention that, too, like the Winnie the Pooh movie. That was supposed to be like a 2D animation throwback to the old Winnie the Pooh movies. Like, was it... Did it kind of have that charm of the old Winnie the Pooh specials?
Again, don't know. Wasn't paying attention. I mean, it was it was cute. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I would say that because we've all gotten used to movies having a little more going on and a little mm-hmm. more visually appealing, I think it was kind of cute for me to see that, but I think the kids got bored.
Got bored, right.
Yeah.
But that's got
to
be
tough. Has to be compelling.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, no Pixar.
What movies, you guys, have you seen that keep a three-year-old, like, dialed in one of them?
You know what? Our three-year-old, nothing. His attention span is literally 30 minutes. I mean, he can watch a show, and then that's it. Like, we tried to do Mr. Popper's Penguins. Daughter, six-year-old, loved it. No problem. Three-year-old, it's same thing. About 20 minutes, popcorn's gone. Oh, well, I'm done. I don't know who that is on stage. I don't know. I didn't know that was Jim Carrey.
I don't care.
The Penguins aren't on the screen any longer. I'm done. I want to leave.
Yeah.
So that was it. So three-year-old's a tough age, I mean, to sit.
It is, and I shouldn't have even taken my older one. I tried to take her to Shrek when she was three, and it horrified her. Like, the opening credits, we had to leave.
Yeah.
That was it.
It's scary. Well, you try to see it through the eyes of a three-year-old and you see a giant monster, even though we know the monsters, mm-hmm. he's like people. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just a sweet guy. He mm-hmm. just, but they don't know that. They just see a huge green monster and they want out immediately.
I remember I was like 2 or 3 years old and my mom was getting ready for like a costume party and she was making herself up into a scary witch. And she was talking to me the whole time. Hey, honey, it's just mom putting on makeup. And as she put more makeup on, I started to get terrified. She went, sweetie, it's me. It's okay. And I saw the whole thing and I just freaked out. Because I was three.
Yeah.
You don't put that connection of like, here's, you know, the transformation of not being real.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing is, will your daughters sit at home for a longer movie, like on a DVD? Like our son, he'll sit longer at home on the couch for like a movie. Like he'll go an hour and a half sometimes if he's compelled.
Yeah. One of my twins, Matilda, has watched all of Toy Story 3. Many times and asks for it.
Because she's home.
Lay down in our bedroom and watch Toy Story 3. Which I can't imagine that she can keep track of what's going on in that movie, but I guess she can.
Right.
Like we just watched Castle in the Sky and that with my three-year-old and my six-year-old and they both sat there for like over 2 hours and just asking questions but we were home. Mm-hmm. So they actually sat and watched it. It's also being, God, I think, at the movie
questions.
Theater.
Asking questions.
Yes.
Ooh, shut up.
That smells like quality time. Yeah. Not interested.
Yeah. After 30 minutes, I had to put a stop to it. I said, all right, that's no more questions.
Book.
Yeah. Yeah. Please save all comments and questions for the end, for the Q&A at the end.
Well, I'll
come back. Daddy's going to have a snack.
Yeah.
Go for a drive. I'll come back.
Yeah. Take notes.
Right. Yeah.
Daddy's going to Arby's.
Yeah.
Again. Don't worry about it.
But you're going to the far one. I just don't worry about it.
They said better. They have better out juice there. Come on. Bring it home, everybody. Grab Mel with two shows on Saturday. I want to talk about this summer when my nieces
late show is crotchless.
It's a crotchless late show. Here at the Comedy Club. Late show. Late shows are always crotchless, guys. So keep that in mind. This is maybe one of our more informative episodes.
Yeah,
I think it's really all you film students. I hope you're getting a lot of knowledge out of this.
Yeah, you know, don't go to Arby's and don't have your characters kill themselves.
No
suicide packs, and go to the goddamn Getty Museum.
And don't have kids because they're
a waste. I want to talk about the Harry Potter movies because I took my nieces when they were here in July for the final one. And they're 12 and 11, my nieces. So it was actually awesome to go to a movie because they're well past the fidgety blah, blah, blah. But this particular movie.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You're 12. Graham, I got to go pee pee.
Yeah.
Listen, you're 12.
You're 12.
That doesn't seem right.
Deal with it.
Have your boyfriend take you.
Yeah. I want to say, on a side note, my brother, it was a big deal to have my nieces come because they flew alone, and my brother was like, you know, they're starting to get to that where they're thinking about boys and they might try to sneak out. I was like, if some boy comes near my nieces, I'm going to terrify that kid. I'm going to be, because I was a little bit of a player when I was younger, there's no way some kid, yeah, when I was 12, are you kidding me? I had a lot of action.
He was at Arby's all the time.
I worked at the Arby's. I got promoted quickly.
Night shift. That place is open to like midnight.
Oh, assistant manager, really quickly. Oh, juice coming up quick. Graham Elwood's beef sandwich. I had to make that joke. It was sitting there. I had to make it. But anyway, I was like, I'm gonna terrify. I'm gonna be the mean Marine Corps dad guy, even though they're not my kids. But anyway, side note, it was the coolest thing taking them to see Harry Potter, because in this particular movie, I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, but they had literally grown up with this series. And I took them
eight movies.
Yeah, eight movies. So
there's been eight movies?
Yes. Yeah, the two-parter.
That's too many.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Well, it's done.
It's done. So, or is it? And they, first of all, I took them to the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. So it was so great because I'm like, there's Marilyn Monroe. And they're like, who's that? I'm like, who's John Wayne? And then they saw the Harry Potter cast in the cement. And they were like, oh my God. And they had to take pictures of it. And we saw it in 3D, which, you know, I'm not a big 3D fan, but it was cool. And they were like, you know, in the end, when you're not sure, spoiler alert here if you haven't seen Harry Potter, but when Harry might die, like my one niece, I thought she was going to cry. She was like, I know, there's no way. It was the coolest thing to watch them, because like while those movies never really resonated with me, I get it. It was like, it was their Star Wars or whatever growing up. Like I remember a kid watching Empire Strikes Back at the end of it, and I'm like, there's no way Darth Vader's his father. There's no way. It's a trick. That's what the whole summer, me and my friends could not get our heads around the fact that potentially that was
true. And you had to wait a little longer for the next movie.
Yeah, we did.
It wasn't like they were shooting them simultaneously.
No. But that was a really cool thing.
So some other classic movies, like have you introduced your kids to like stuff like Jungle Book and, you know, Iron Giant, any of those DVDs in your library? Or the princess movie Sleeping Beauty?
I have no idea what Iron Giant is.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
The only good movie that Vin Diesel and Jennifer Aniston did together.
Have they done a lot of movies together?
That's it. That's it. And the fact that they're both in a good movie together just happens to be animated.
So there's
people
in that? Oh, it's animated. I got it.
It's a really... Iron Giant is a really cool...
It's a classic.
It's a really cool. It's great for kids, and it's a good movie.
So the princess ones, what are they like?
Tangled.
Yeah, Tangled's a great movie.
Last time I was here, I loved it. It's funny. It's silly humor.
Yeah,
it's actually like made me laugh out loud.
And just watching a horse sword fight. It's really, it was a funny movie. It was good. And this gets into like what makes a good family movie. It's like
they put jokes in for the parents.
Yeah, and we can actually be engaged in the movie while the kids are being engaged. You know, we don't want to hang ourselves halfway through.
But this is something I mentioned last time I was here. I don't like it when they make the joke clearly when it's just for the parent. And that's usually those like Mike Myers movies, you know, where it's like a fart joke or like a sex joke that's like, oh, ha ha, you know what we're talking about, but the kids don't. I don't know. I don't like that. It taints it for me somehow.
Right.
I mean, it should be funny in a way that we can appreciate because they're being sarcastic, but that also might get a giggle out of the kid.
Sure.
Or that the kid doesn't understand, but it's not like, oh, you don't understand it because it's dirty.
Right.
You
know, Pixar does that where they straddle the line. It's possible. It's certainly possible to be done. Like
Pixar's excellent at that.
Yeah. Up, Monsters, Inc., all that stuff. They never resort to that stuff.
Right. Right. And they don't. And it's, but they're still fun to watch.
Yep.
I like
it. For everybody.
Yes, I agree. So some of the classics, well, like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
The first one, yes.
Yeah, that's a great class. I mean,
amazing movie.
We like some of the old movies at our house that are classic.
Sure.
Wizard of Oz and Willy Wonka. And I just recorded Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's a great movie. Classic. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
The songs in it and all that stuff, it's great.
Have they seen it yet?
They haven't seen it yet, but we're getting them excited. I think we're going to do a screening this weekend.
That's great.
I remember there being some really scary parts.
In Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? I don't think so. I mean, the car just turns into different things.
Car flies. Wings come out of the car. I used to have that car toy. Then you press a button and wings come out of the side.
Wait, the car turns into a boat. Right? Yeah, it goes into the water and then
and it flies.
Yeah. I think that's about as scary as that movie gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think you'll be all right.
I forgot to say spoiler.
Yeah. That's right. I thought it was just a car.
Those guys ruined Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for me. And I was going to go see I Melt With You.
Yeah, that's just my whole evening now.
Everything's just gone.
Done. Now I can't even go to Arby's.
Suicide packs and flying cars. Who knew? And he just said about Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker being related. This show is bullshit.
So what's a movie that you can actually watch over and over, like a family movie that doesn't make you want to kill yourself that the kids like?
Honestly, not. I can't think of any. That's horrible.
That's a big, long well,
Tangled.
Ball.
Tangled, yeah. Okay. Although Tangled. I saw it in the theater, I really enjoyed it. It's been on in the background at home, and I haven't actually watched it.
Right.
I have seen Monsters, Inc. a few times.
There you
I
go. That counts. It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen Shrek a few times. Mm-hmm. I can't watch any of those movies over and over, but...
I can't even count how many times the kids have watched Lion King. That's one of the movies where they just watch over and over and over.
My
and
nieces
over
and
again.
Nephews are the same way. They're ages 3 to 12, and they still watch Lion King over and over and over.
Yeah, that's for some reason, even like as kids watch movies over and over, for some reason that movie, they watch over and over and over and over. I mean, you saw how with the re-release, how much that made. In 2 weeks, it was like over $60 million it made, just the re-release in theaters. And it wasn't all 3D. Right. There were a lot of 2D showings, too, that were also selling out. And, of course, you know what happened now? Disney's like, oh, hello, we can make almost $100 million by not making anything. Yeah. We're going to keep doing that. Now they're going to re-release a couple more into 3D. Mm. I think, like, I can't remember. There's, like, four. But I believe it's Monsters, Inc. Mm-hmm. I think Little Mermaid, and I think and two others. But
Sex and the City 2.
Yeah, Sex and the City 2.
Yeah. Is definitely going to come out in 3D.
More sexier.
Do you know
3D martinis?
But I'll give you a couple that you can watch over and over that you can get a little bit out of it. Iron Giant is one.
Okay, I'm going to get that one.
Spirited Away, but it's a little creepy. That one to watch. And then Legend or Labyrinth. Or both, not Legend, Labyrinth or Neverending Story.
Oh, Neverending Story.
Yeah, those two. Are, Neverending Story is amazing where it's the guy that directed Das Boot actually directed this movie.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a you know, big German.
Das Boot, another great family movie.
Yes, yes.
German
big,
submarines.
Big German fairy tale and, you know, German book and submarines. Yeah.
Submarine,
And no but, it, but it's got that.
It's good.
It's got that cool, like... We're not talking down to kids. We're making an actual fairy tale where this is what happens and, you know, there's an actual threat. People die. There's dragons and monsters and all that
Plus
stuff.
Plus the whole but Peter Falk reading the story in the beginning of the Neverending Story.
No, that's you're thinking Princess Bride.
Mm, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Another good movie.
That's another good one, though. Yeah. Good movie. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely some really cool ones that you don't you won't
so
just want to die.
Let me ask you guys this. Regarding Lion King. Do you guys remember the cartoon Kimba the White Lion?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this was my favorite cartoon when I was a kid.
Kimba the White Lion is his name.
Yep. Yeah. Who's the king of animals in Africa? Mm-hmm. Kimba the White Lion. Okay, so this is my very favorite cartoon, Channel 52. For those of you who, back when there were three channels...
Right.
Plus that one.
Right.
Right? There was...
It sometimes came in, sometimes it didn't.
Yeah. Exactly. You had to adjust the rabbit ears and you had to... Okay. So then Lion King comes out. It's the same movie. So I feel like I was the only one who was going like, this is Kimba the White Lion. Hi, the lion's name is Simba.
Oh,
it was Kimba.
The,
but then I found out that they did get sued.
Yes.
By the Japanese company that made... I wonder if they won.
I don't think they did. I mean, the Disney... No one beats the Disney lawyers. They were probably ready for it.
Such an obvious ripoff, right?
You know what's interesting? If you look at that Lion King, there's two sources that get cobbled together and that were ripped off. One of them is Jungle Book. Everything from the lions' voices, Shere Khan. It's the same thing as Jeremy Irons. And the songs, you know, Bare Necessities, Hakuna Matata. It's the same song, just different melody. And then you go to... Kimba the White Lion. So you mash those two things together, all those elements, and then you have Lion King. So yeah.
Right.
And for some reason, it's like one of the most favorite kids' movies of all time, even though it's got pieces
kids
of each
like
one.
Mashups.
Yeah, they do. They like mashups.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? That's another thing to put on the message boards. What happened to that lawsuit with the Japanese company? I bet you Disney
just settled out of court. I bet you
that
just,
could be.
Just
that
gave
could
him
be.
A big flat chunk of money and said, "This we're going to seal this. And no one's going to know."
Put in a link. And actually, we have a lot of fans in Japan, so give us. You'll probably have a little more insider scoop on that. So let us know on the message boards.
Disney
and
controls
link.
The media in this yes. part of the world.
Yep. Yep. So if you're Japanese, get on it.
Yeah, yeah. Before they control the internet.
Arigato.
So let's move on to DVDs. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. This is the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Not as bad as the third one. Doesn't mean it's a good movie. It's not. I mean, this one, even Johnny Depp looks bored in this movie.
Right.
So it's just
like saying that. That's like saying that one stripper wasn't as annoying as the Hooters
girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? It's like saying that.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing. It's like, well, what? I get why you're still making these movies because they make a ton of money, but like, do something. I mean, do something with these movies. And they try. They try to like they got. They bought a book and they stuck Jack Sparrow into the book and on Stranger Tides, a search for like the Fountain of Youth. But then they just stuck all these other characters in that made no sense. And it was ultimately a boring movie with mermaids.
I never liked any of them.
Yeah.
I liked the first one. I was like, oh, what a great, fun summer
popcorn movie. Yeah, popcorn yeah. Movie. And then it was like, after that, it was like, well, the second one, oh, that was terrible.
Second one is...
And then the third one, you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. You actually say that to the screen after it ends. It was absolutely horrible. And then this one, just bad. So, you know, it upgraded a little bit from unwatchable to bad.
Speaking of bad...
Bad Teacher, not a good movie. No. Bad Teacher, bad movie.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That would be good.
Very contrived. Tried way too hard, and ultimately, there's even Jason Segel was kind of he tried to save that movie. He couldn't.
Sure.
Better Life. You saw that movie, right?
I did see Better Life. This is a good movie. This is a good movie to watch if it had a limited release in the theaters.
Who's in it?
It is. It's a very. Famous actor from Mexico. I forget his name.
It about?
It's about this guy is a gardener in Los Angeles, and he's an illegal immigrant, and he's trying to keep his son out of trouble. And it's just about the struggle of being in Los Angeles as an illegal and what that whole thing is like. And it really kind of shows you what it's all about. His name is Demian. I'm not pronouncing this right. Demian Bashir. Is the lead.
I want to see that.
It's an excellent movie. It's really worth watching, and it's also kind of a nice. It shows. It kind of has a. It's a nice postcard of Los Angeles, and everything, and it really shows you what being here as an illegal is like. You know, without it's not. It's showing that it's difficult, and it's not really trying to. You know, obviously it's a big political issue, but I think they do a nice job of just saying, look, this is what it's like. Whatever you agree or disagree, this is what someone who's here illegally has to go through. So, and the movie, the guy, the lead, is an excellent actor, and the kid, Jose Julian, it's a great movie. It's a really good
Do you think
film.
Either cool. the lead or the kid have ever mowed anyone's lawn?
I don't know, but put that on our message boards. If they did, I hope they did.
To our friends in Mexico.
I hope they were wearing crotchless pants when they did it. That's my guess.
Next on DVD and Blu-ray, Red State. This took a long time to get the DVD and Blu-ray, and we talked about this movie in length a couple of episodes ago. And again, it's definitely a Kevin Smith movie, but it's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's a random scenes that... you know, Kevin Smith obviously had some stuff to say, and there's no protagonists in this movie. Some decent acting, but if you're a Kevin Smith fan and you just kind of want to see him do something different and not really do an even traditionally structured movie, you know, check it out. But is it a good movie? No, it's not. Next one is Batman Year One. This is straight to DVD. I haven't seen this yet, but I'm looking forward to this.
I think some fans have either on Twitter or Facebook told me to see this. They're like, this movie's excellent, so I'm excited to see it. And this, you know,
this is the original Frank Miller story. Got animated.
We're talking about this animation studio does such a great job with the Batman and even that Wonder Woman movie.
This is Warner Premiere. They make PG-13 kind of animated superhero movies
excellent
for
Batman
older
movies.
Audiences.
They're great. They're really good. So I'm excited to see that.
The Howling Reborn.
What?
Okay. All right.
They redid The Howling for a DVD?
That might just be a re-release. I'm not sure. Okay, coming up. 2011. Wow, it is.
It came out this year.
Wow, finally. When are we going to remake that franchise?
We've all been waiting on The Howling to come back to life.
Okay, premiering this week. Speaking of horror movies, Paranormal Activity 3.
This trailer looks... I've never seen the first two. I didn't care about any of them. This one looks scary.
I think you're wrong. I think you're clearly wrong. The first one was scary. I like the first one. It's creepy. Saw it in a movie theater full of people. Really fun. Second one was pretty much the first movie over again with a haunted pool filter that, little pool robot that kept coming out of the pool. That
pool
was the scariest part.
Pool filters are so scary.
40 minutes really of scary. A pool filter, really? That's what you're showing me?
The HEPA filter is inside the house. The HEPA filter is inside the house.
This one, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Ah! So I think this is, again, the original filmmakers have moved on smartly. I mean, they went on to make Insidious and, some real other really cool stuff that they've got coming up, but
So you guys like horror movies?
We do. We like good horror movies.
I think I used to like horror movies.
But this is a cash grab, clearly, Paranormal Activity 3. Yeah. Unlike The Howling Reborn.
The Shining was a great movie.
Of course. Fantastic
horror
movie.
They don't make movies like that anymore, right? I mean, they're just trying to scare the shit out of you and move on, right? It's not like they're trying to craft an amazing movie with a great story and
with all this tension and slow pacing.
There's some of the smaller filmmakers are still trying to do that. It's an uphill battle because it's all franchises and big set pieces. But like Insidious was like that, where it was a lower budget horror movie, but really creative and creepy and scary.
Like I get spoiled. You see a movie like The Sixth Sense, which I thought was a great movie.
Because the last good M. Night Shyamalan movie.
The only good one.
I like Unbreakable. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I like Unbreakable.
I've watched that movie so many times for a half hour. I can't get through the first half hour.
Well,
and then
you're three.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you keep hearing, I want to see Toy Story 3.
I want to go home. This is dumb.
Yeah. But you know, that movie, The Sixth Sense, could work. I mean, it's just a good horror movie.
Absolutely. And it was creepy.
And it was creepy and just... Like it's just a good
If I were to make a horror movie, I would really rely on that tension and creepiness as opposed to just slashing and big,
absolutely,
that kind of stuff.
Well, I think I got spoiled when I was a kid. When I was like 13, my stepfather decided it would be a really bonding experience. He liked horror movies. He took me to see Friday the 13th, and
you were 13.
Yeah, was it Friday the 13th? What was the one where they were killing all the kids at summer camp?
Every movie ever made in the 80s.
All of them?
Yeah, that was Friday, that was Friday the 13th.
So, So I saw that movie and it was awful. Like I couldn't understand. Like it wasn't fun.
Like why would you take me to see this movie?
And I was like just people getting killed. And you're at that age where you're scared a little bit, still scared to be out in the dark. And you're living at home with your parents. I was horrible. And then he would take me, that became like, he thought that was like our thing. I don't know. I was 13. So I didn't think to go like, that's not entertaining to me. So we would go.
Then you would go to Hooters, right?
Yeah, then we'd go to Hooters. And that's how I ended up at Arby's. Yeah. And I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Stephanie's Arby's modeling shots are going to be on the message board. So check that out.
But my point is I was always spoiled after that. I hated slasher movies. Once I was old enough to make my own decisions on what movies, I've never seen that. So I do like a scary movie, but I don't want to be scared. Right. I don't want just people killing people for no reason.
I agree. Like, that like that doesn't gore. Interest me either. Like or the torture porn stuff. I can't do that. We actually had an episode we'll be running pretty soon. We go through horror movies with Matt Weinhold and we talk about that. A whole episode dedicated to horror movies. Coming up.
Like a good, like if it's creepy, yeah.
Right.
Like a Amityville Horror, creepy, like Haunted House, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a better crafted movie. Speaking of not better crafted movies, The Three Musketeers is coming out, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson. And I have to say, I like, I liked some of the stuff he does with Resident Evil, but this movie looks absolutely horrible. Like some weird steampunk kind of... slow
why
motion.
Why do they keep resurrecting this?
And doing it wrong.
Why do they keep doing The Three Musketeers over and over and over again? Like, I just don't get it. And there's... Name one of the Three Musketeer movies that's like, this is amazing.
Yeah, this is the one you gotta see.
No, this is the one that stands
This is
up.
The Beau Jest of Three Musketeer movies.
they're all just like, eh, it's kind of, eh, they've left out that, and it was too stupid on this. Like, there's no Three Musketeers. Yeah, yeah. In the 25, 30 years they've been doing Three Musketeers.
I'd rather go to the Getty.
Getty's stupid. Yeah. You should go get wings at Hooters.
So I don't have high hopes for this remake of the Three Musketeers. Next movie is Margin Call. This is a smaller movie about the it's Kevin Spacey stars in it, and it's about the beginnings of the financial meltdown. Neil actually saw a press screening of this. We'll have a review up shortly. Mm-hmm. But this opens this weekend as well.
And then Johnny English Reborn.
Oh, yes, of course. Johnny English Reborn. Here's
Rowan Atkinson's back at it.
Yeah, you know, I
in crotchless pants. Yeah. Crotchless
pants. I guess, you know, he didn't want to do another Mr. Bean movie, so this is his other character that doesn't really catch on in the States. So I'm not sure how this one's going to be. I'm a big Rowan Atkinson fan, uh-huh. but some really? Of these characters, they just don't translate. His best stuff is like Blackadder and all the older BBC stuff.
I would have to say that none of his stuff I like.
Really?
At all.
You don't like Blackadder?
Nope.
Wow.
I just don't like, I don't like adders.
Oh, you don't like snakes. I see.
Yeah, I don't like snakes.
I like a British rom-com, but I don't like...
You don't like when they're you don't like the com.
Yeah, I don't like when they're just trying to do com.
Right.
Yeah.
I like...
there's got to be a hill somewhere.
Yeah, a hill, a nodding.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, something.
I like Notting
of
Hill.
Of that nature. I like that movie. It was a good movie.
All right, well, that's our
Love
show.
Love Actually is one of my favorite movies.
That's actually a great romantic comedy.
That's a great mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
We can't argue with you there.
Underrated, highly underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because a lot of people just wrote it off as being, oh, that's just
because it came after a string of horrible romantic comedies.
Right. Yeah. So it got lumped in. The movie poster and the trailer made you go, ugh.
Another one of these.
Yeah. And it wasn't. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. There's a movie I can watch over and over and over.
With your children.
I'm not going to, but I could. I had to.
In theory.
If I was in jail, I would totally do it.
So visit Stephanie in lockdown. She'll be having a Love Actually marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Cell Block C.
Yes. Ace Mom, Cell Block C.
Ace Mom, Cell Block C.
On Twitter, Facebook, like the page.
Like the page.
So, Stephanie, that is our show. Why don't we go over like where people can find you again online and the podcast again.
Ace Moms is the Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Facebook and like us and chat about us at For Crying Out Loud. And then you can go to iTunes and just, I don't know, same thing that you do for years, right?
Yeah, download
that
shit.
For Crying Out Loud, download that shit and just put the buds in your ears and give it a listen. You know, why not?
You're so street.
Yeah, and you've got a new book came out, right?
Just roll up on it. Roll up on it and just, you know, do your thing. Mm-hmm. Does anyone say that anymore?
No. Yeah. No.
Why don't you break it down for us, Stephanie? Never, break it down for us.
You are the whitest girl that's ever lived.
Wow.
You have a new book out.
Oh, I do?
Don't you?
I do. I kind of do. God. I'm Kind of a Big Deal is out, but that came out in July?
Yeah, but you haven't been on since then.
I haven't?
Mm-mm.
You were on the spring, I think.
I'm Kind of a Big Deal. Yes, you can get that at Amazon or any of your books. I would say bookstores, but you know how it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we have a lot of Stephanie's other books here in the Comedy Film Nerd Shop, and they will be signed for you.
Yes.
So Stephanie will sign the books. And
by Chris and Graham.
Yes. Yeah. And Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay. Great book to buy with Pacify Me for new parents. And a lot of people, you've been doing that. In fact, we've been selling a lot of them to Australia.
Wow.
People have been
Aussie,
actually.
Mates.
A lot of kids coming online in Australia.
Yes.
A lot of Joeys.
Yeah.
Wow. Australia, the fans in Australia have been awesome. Like, we really, you know, hello. You know what I mean? Like, righto. Righto, mates. I'm not supposed to do bad accents anymore, so I gotta hold
on. Oh, that last time I was on, that was bad accent day.
Yeah, we had a lot of bad accents.
Yeah,
we've had so many of those, and then we finally did one that was all bad accents.
A whole episode
for an hour.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think if you had a certain number of something, you were going.
Yeah, it was a smile train thing.
You were in the middle of. You came on last time you were on.
That was so fun.
It was great.
Yes,
I'm from China. I live near the Great Wall. Yeah, I'm not very accurate with my accents.
Well, that's...
That's our show!
So, and wait, you also have your blog, right?
I have my blog, Baby on Board.
Yes.
But it's at my name. If you go to StephanieWilderTaylor.com.
That's where it is now.
And then I have this Babbel blog... that I like to pimp out. Because sure. I do. I've been really saving my best stuff for them because they pay me. Mm-hmm. So if you Google, it's like the longest URL in the entire planet. But if you, okay, that's probably an exaggeration. Sorry. If you Google Babbel Voices and put my name in there, you'll find that blog. And it's a good one. I saved some good stuff on there.
Are there links to all this on StephanieWilderTaylor.com? Kinda.
Yeah, there are. Okay. Go to StephanieWilderTaylor.com and figure it out.
Oh, great. Well, we always love having you on.
Thank you so much.
You guys,
Stephanie.
This is the best show ever. I love this show.
Thank
it's
you.
So funny.
We love doing
There's
it.
There's a lot of shitty podcasts out there. I'm just saying, I'm not going to mention any names.
Well,
Manic
right.
Mommies. Yeah. Wow. What? That slipped out.
Yeah. Digital cat fight. Digital cat fight.
I'm just I've never even heard that podcast, honestly.
I'm sure it's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
StephanieWilderTaylor.com. Let's see. You can see me with Doug Benson October 27th in Vancouver, Canada. Hello, mate. And that's their accent, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Hello, I'm from Canada. October 28th at the Neptune Theater in Seattle. And the 29th of October at the Punchline in San Francisco, and the 30th at the Punchline in San Francisco as well. The 29th and 30th shows are both 420 shows. So come on out. If you're Doug Love Movies fans, dress up in a costume, and that'll help you get picked for
Leonard Maltin game.
But you got to wear a movie-themed costume, so do that. All right, and you know, everything else we got.
Yeah, and we like I said, we really appreciate you guys supporting the store, and that's pretty much how you know, the podcast and the site is supported, by your patronage on the store, and we appreciate it. We got, like I said, a lot of free stuff for you when you buy stuff, and as always, my book, Pacify Me, Handbook for the Freaked Out New Dad, is available, and also on Amazon, I have a new ebook called Baby on a Budget that's only on Amazon and on Kindle or in a PDF, and that tell to you like the first year of childhood how to actually save some money with your kid.
Getting museums free.
Yes. Hello.
Another reason you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, right?
Yeah, and we're gonna have, like I said, a special show of on horror movies coming up soon.
We're gonna have a couple more. There's gonna be a couple bonus episodes.
Yeah.
Coming up. We're trying to do more than like two episodes a week. We can't guarantee it every week, but we're gonna start doing more of that. So stay tuned, everybody. Thank you once again, Stephanie Wilder Taylor. My name is Graham Elwood,
and I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first
in Arby's
without pants. He was scratchless.